thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Well, we've come to chapter 8 of Proverbs. This is week 11, and we're only at chapter 8, but never mind. Can I just say, before we get into the text, and we will do that, but just the first 21 verses this morning, but before we get to the text, and that might take a wee while, just to give a wee warning, what I want to do is just to share how this chapter, this whole chapter, impacted me this week. And hopefully we'll see how this chapter, how this book is set up, and how chapter 8 is designed by God to impact us. As I read through Proverbs 8 again at the start of this week, and in the context of all that had gone before in the book, I was struck with sheer joy. Sheer joy. I looked at the presentation that was there. It was a presentation of pure wisdom. That's the thought that came right into my mind. This is pure wisdom. There's no warnings. There's no snares, traps, or dangers to look out for. No evil prowling in the shadows, waiting to pounce. Gone is the seductress with her deadly deceit. Gone is the fatal attraction of the bittersweet words of the adulteress, at least for now. And out of the shadows, as it were, and onto the center stage, steps pure, unadulterated wisdom. And to my eyes, it was beautiful. It was amazing. It was an encounter with God. And what we are meant to see and feel and understand and say when we come to chapter 8 is, wow. That's what we're supposed to say. We're supposed to recognize something. We're supposed to say, wow, where have you been all my life? That's what it seems to me. We're meant to be impacted and captured by the sheer beauty and excellence of wisdom. We're meant to be so caught up into this vision of perfection that our hearts are love struck. Struck by love. So love struck that nothing and no one else will do. We'll be completely taken up with her and spoiled for anything or anyone else. Do we need to be reminded that wisdom is not primarily a proposition, but a person? Wisdom isn't primarily a truth, but the truth. Wisdom is not primarily a statement, but a savior. Wisdom is the way, the truth, and the life. Many of us are familiar with the famous prayer from the early church father, Augustine. Augustine of Hippo, who lived from 354 to 430, they tell us. And in his Confessions, the Confessions of Augustine, familiar prayer, our hearts are restless until they find rest in you. So you've heard that. We've all heard that quoted probably many times, and we can all freely relate to that. Yes? See, I can get a nod here this morning. Couldn't really do that on Zoom, but I can get a nod. It says, yeah, we've heard that. We can actually relate to that. Yes, our hearts are restless until they find rest in you, God. But how about this one? This lesser known prayer of Augustine. Let me try this one. Lord, make me pure, but not yet. Make me pure, but not yet. That's a lesser known prayer of St. Augustine, and nevertheless is and was one of his prayers as a young man. Lord, I want to be pure, but just not yet. I wonder if we can freely admit to relating to that one as much as we do the previous one. This is a heart that is unconvinced. It's unconvinced. Lord, make me pure. But just not yet. I've got a few things I'd like to do. This is a heart that is mildly attracted to God, but is still fascinated and captivated by the hag of hell. Proverbs calls her the seductress and the adulteress. What the Bible sums up as the spirit of the age. What the book of Revelation calls the whore of Babylon. It's almost like, can we really mention these things? These are strong words from the Bible. Well, maybe not the hag of hell. I kind of made that one up, but it kind of fits the picture. And we're reminded, why there's such long, uncomfortable passages in the early chapters of Proverbs. And it comes to our remembrance and we think, well, yes, that's why they were there. And that's why we thought, well, if we've not heard enough about the adulteress and the seductress yet, can we not just kind of move on? It's a bit uncomfortable and so on. Now we're understanding. Now it's fallen into place. Because out of the shadows, out of the twilight, steps this beauty, this magnificent lady called wisdom. John says in his epistle, 1st Epistle chapter 2, from verse 15, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, listen to these three things, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. This hag of hell, this whore of Babylon. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. So that's how this chapter impacted me. That's the way that it played out in my thoughts, in my imagination, in my mind, as I interacted with what God was saying in his word, in the whole context of what we've come through all the previous chapters in Proverbs. The subject and the focus of the whole chapter from start to finish is wisdom, nothing but wisdom, all wisdom, pure, unadulterated, beautiful, excellent wisdom. Now to the text quickly. Three quick points this morning. The voice of wisdom, verses 1 to 5. the value of wisdom, verses 6 to 11, and the virtue of wisdom, 12 to 21. The voice of wisdom. We know by now, we absolutely are unmistakable about this fact that wisdom calls out. And it says there, the very first phrase of the first verse, does not wisdom call out? Well, yes, absolutely, definitely, without any doubt whatsoever, wisdom does call out. And I really hope in my heart of hearts that you've heard wisdom call out to you in a very personal way over the last 10 weeks. I hope that you've heard the voice of God, that you've heard the call of wisdom. James speaks about us lacking wisdom, and if anyone lacks wisdom, he should pray and ask God and look for wisdom. But here and throughout the book of Proverbs, we see that wisdom is looking for us. Wisdom is looking for us. It's not as if God is hiding away and he's hiding his understanding and discernment and he's hiding it from us and playing a game of hide and seek. No, it's out there. His voice is out there. See where it is. It's on the heights, verse 2. It's along the way. It's in the paths. It's at the gates. It's at the city gates. It's at the entrances. It's the fork in the road. It's at the crossroads. It's everywhere. Everywhere that you need to have direction for life, at the crossroads, the fork in the road, at the heights, at that entrances, should I go, should I not go? God is not slow to speak to us. He speaks. We hear, we listen. We submit our hearts to him. That's how we hear. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And they not only hear my voice, but they follow me. They follow me because they hear my voice. They'll not follow a stranger. They'll not listen to a strange voice. They'll not be captivated by a thief and a rustler or a robber. The Spirit of God calls to us in the highways, in the byways, in the city gates, the roads, the entrances, the forks in the road, at the crossroads, all through life, in every situation and every circumstance of life, wisdom calls. And the question just is simple. Are we listening? Are we listening? Because here is the thing. We say, oh, God's not speaking to me. God's not speaking to me. I can't hear his. Yes, he is. He absolutely is. If his word has got anything to go with it, chapter 8 and all the verses we've read previous in Proverbs has got anything to do with how and the way and the volume of God speaking to us, then he does absolutely speak to us. But here's the thing. Sometimes we just listen for what we want to hear. And if you're listening for what you want to hear, you may not hear that. Paul Simon, in the clearing stands a boxer and a fighter by his trade, and on the song goes, a man hears what he wants to hear and disregards the rest. Do, do, do. As the song goes, that's it. Paul Simon got it right. For once, a man hears what he wants to hear, disregards the rest. God's voice goes out, the voice of wisdom, the value of wisdom. We see the value of wisdom right throughout the book of Proverbs, but from 8, 6 to 11, listen I have worthy things to say. What is a worthy thing? What does it mean? What do we mean when we say, Jesus, you are worthy? What does that mean? There is worth. There is value. Wisdom. There is wisdom. There is value in wisdom. I have worthy things to say. Now we need to pay attention here. Really pay attention here. God never wastes words like we do sometimes, like preachers do sometimes, like I do sometimes. We all waste words, pad things out, add things. You know, like we've had a thesaurus for breakfast and so on and so forth, and we just add this word or that word. God never wastes words. And I say that in the context of verses 6 to 11. Because Solomon, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, could have written this. I have worthy things to say, things that are right, true, just, and faultless. He could have just said that, yeah? And we would have got that, and we would have understood what he was saying. Yeah, I have worthy things to say, things that are right, true, just, and faultless. I get your idea. But no, that's not what the Holy Spirit does here. That's not how the Spirit inspired Solomon to write. How did he? He did this. Listen, for I have worthy things to say. Right? Now, if you're looking at the text, you see it, verse 6. I have valuable things to say. I open my lips to speak. Verse 7, my mouth speaks, my lips. Verse 8, all the words of my mouth. See that? Why does Solomon just want to pad things out? Does God just want to pad this out a wee bit? No, you could easily overlook that and say, well, that's, yeah, I can see that. But why is it there? Why does God emphasize this? My lips speak, my mouth speaks, my lips speak, my mouth speaks. Can you see the world of a difference between I have worthy things to say that are right, true, and just, and I have worthy things to say. I open my lips to speak what is right. My mouth speaks what is true. My lips detest wickedness. All the words of my mouth are just. None of them is crooked or perverse. God speaks. It's the most exciting thing to know that God, who doesn't waste words, never uses empty words, is constantly calling out to us, verses 1 to 5, and he does that not with a mega megaphone in a general, impersonal sort of way, like a blunderbuss that just, well, I'll just blast this out and whoever's listening will listen. No, he doesn't speak like that in general terms. God calls you by name. It's incredibly personal. So when he is using his mouth to speak and the words come from his lips and land on our heart, it's extremely personal. It's beautiful to me. This is exciting to me that God knows me, calls you by name. The eternal God, the almighty sovereign King, the maker of the universe speaks to you. You. Words come from his lips, from his mouth, and land on your heart. Words that originate in the eternal God land on your heart and mine. I think that's awesome. Excuse me, but I find that really exciting to illustrate. When was it? Sunday, the 28th of February. There was a fireball in the sky. A meteorite landed on somebody's driveway. And everybody got so excited. And this family. And a quote. This is Rob Wilcock and his wife Catherine and daughter Hannah. And they were astounded to find themselves at the center of a major scientific discovery. And they said, "We're still pinching ourselves to believe that this actually happened on our driveway." What are they talking about? This meteorite that everybody's looking for, so incredibly valuable, landed on their driveway. It's a priceless thing. They've given it to science, and they're all going crazy with excitement because they have this very rare thing. It's a particular kind of meteorite. And they're just so glad, so happy, so excited to have it in their possession so that they can analyze it and see what the molecular structure is and all the rest of it. So they're happy it landed on their driveway. The scientists are amazed and can't wait to get stuck into it. And for years, they will examine this thing. And here we have the words that come from the very mouth of God and land not on our driveway with a thud, but words come expressly, specifically from His lips, His mouth. And land of all the people in the world, of all the driveways in the world, land in my heart, land in your heart, not randomly, specifically, because He wants to speak to you. Wow. I just think that's amazing. Forgive me for getting excited about that. But that is the value of wisdom to me. That He speaks precious words. And finally this morning, the virtue of wisdom. The virtue of wisdom. You know, often value is set by people who are willing to pay for whatever they want to pay for it. So that's the value set by the buyer. And sometimes there's no rhyme or reason to it, especially when you come to buying houses or, you know, pieces of art and stuff like that. And you think, well, why on earth did that go for £55 million and so on? So the virtue of wisdom, what is virtue? Virtue is intrinsic, inbuilt excellence, a distinct quality that is way above the ordinary. This is excellence. I remember, and this shows you how, you know, the few times that I got a gold star in my primary school days, I still remember, and I still have fond memories of getting that gold star for my work. Excellent. Gold star, and the tick, and the happy face, or whatever it was. But the gold star, wonderful, excellence. The virtue of wisdom. When we think about the wisdom of God, we see that it's not only excellent in every way, But we also hear, we see in here in these verses 12 to 21, that wisdom, the wisdom of God, enables and empowers. So that's what it does. Excellence doesn't only, the excellence of God's wisdom not only sits on a shelf to be admired from afar, the virtue in wisdom is this, that we are called to participate in that. Virtue is goodness. It's the benefits of wisdom. It is the excellence of wisdom. You see it there, 15. By me, kings reign. Rulers make laws. Verse 16. By me, princes govern. And the nobles who rule the earth. Through me, in wisdom. So wisdom is not just something that stands aloof. Wisdom is something that empowers, enables. In Luke chapter 8, verse 46, from the King James Version. Now listen to this from the King James Version, because it's different from the NIV or the ESV that you may be reading. Luke 8, 46. And Jesus said, this is the healing of the woman with the issue of blood. Someone hath touched me, for I perceived that virtue has gone out from me. Yeah? So the word translated virtue in the King James Version is the Greek word dunamis, which is more than likely translated power in your version if you're not reading the King James Version. So it's translated power. But in the King James Version, it's translated as virtue. So that mistake is or something. Why did they do that? Virtue. I think the King James Version has got merit. I think it has. For power and virtue share one quality. And that is the quality to empower. To empower. To give the ability to accomplish something. To be empowered. To be anointed. To be, you know, empowered by the Holy Spirit is to receive virtue, enabling excellence from God. The Holy Spirit. He shares his wisdom with us. He imparts that wisdom. And think of coaches this morning, trainers and managers of football clubs or netball teams or rugby teams or whatever. And they could be a great coach, but in their playing days, probably fairly average. You know, think of Jose Mourinho perhaps. Some people, well, he's won a lot of things, but he was never really a football player, but he knows how to help other players to play the game and win matches. But he himself wasn't really able to do that. So he has the knowledge. But when we come to God, we not only have someone who is excellent in wisdom, but he knows how to coach us in wisdom. He's played the game, as it were. He has rolled up his sleeves. He became a man. He walked this world. He walked the walk and he talked the talk. And not only that, he empowers us to do it. Folks, as I bring this to a close this morning, God has the skill and he has the ability and the desire to impart and empower to us the wisdom necessary to skillfully live life. That's the power and virtue of wisdom. Oh, taste and see. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Amen. Let's pray, shall we, for a moment. Let's bow our heads in God's presence. Lord, we thank you that you have revealed your beauty, your majesty, your excellence to us. You've shown us something of your brilliance. And yet, Lord, we have to confess there are times when the hag of hell still has some pull upon our affections. And God, will you forgive us and cleanse us and wash us? Will you impact us once again by your magnificence, by your greatness, by your excellence? And will you touch our hearts and help us to take it in that we are loved by you and that you are beautiful beyond description? Capture our hearts afresh. And Lord, lead us to the cross, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world. May it have a fresh and wondrous attraction for us. Capture our hearts afresh. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.